Grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from our Old Testament reading this evening found in 1 Kings chapter 19. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." This is God's word. God gives Elijah one of those duh questions. You get it, don't you, Roxy? I mean, he's asking Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And you can almost expect Elijah to say, "What am I doing here? What am I doing here?" Twice he's now told the Lord, "The people have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, they're killing your prophets with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they want to take my life too." Who could blame Elijah for being a little frustrated? You see, his ministry was not going according to plan. Today is actually, for me, the 14th anniversary of my ordination. I was ordained in the ministry 14 years ago today, right here at Our Redeemer. And I've had some ups and downs in ministry, but I've never had an Elijah sort of moment in 14 years where it feels like they're ready to put you to death. We expect things to go well in the church, and if things don't go well for a minister, maybe it's time to get rid of him and find someone else. So I guess, as a pastor, these words ring a little bit personally to me. The thing is, God's asking Elijah, "What are you doing here?" And God knows the answer already. God knows everything. He knows why Elijah's there. And there's sort of a little edge, I think, to God's voice when he says this, "What are you doing here?" Because it's, "What are you doing here, Elijah? You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be out there." No one ever promised it would be easy, did they? We heard that in our gospel this past Sunday and tonight as well. When Jesus says to the one man he calls to follow, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Following the Lord is not easy. At times it's difficult. It's not staying in five-star hotels and wearing $1,000 suits and flying on private jets, despite what the TV preachers might tell you. No, it's a difficult road for preacher and congregant alike. To be in this business of following our Lord is difficult. And when it was all getting to be a little too much for Elijah, he sought out a sanctuary. He went to a cave. And that's where the Lord found him. What are you doing here this evening? I mean, I think I know why you're here. Have you come looking for a little bit of sanctuary from the world? Because it's a little tough out there on prophets, disciples, and followers of Jesus Christ alike. If it's not the out-and-out hatred towards us as Christians, it's sickness and disease and fighting and division, our own temptations, fighting to get the best of us, fighting to keep us away from the Lord God. Maybe we come here looking for, like Elijah, a little bit of a moment to catch our breath. And so we have. We certainly come here to be refreshed in the good word of God's love and forgiveness and salvation given in Jesus Christ. Jesus calls his word in John's gospel living water. That whoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. It's a sanctuary here. In fact, that's the term we use often to call the church here. We say that we're gathered in the sanctuary. Another word often used for the place where y'all are sitting tonight out there in the pews, call that part of the church the nave. Sounds a little bit like the word navy. It's related. It has to do with ships. A nave reminds us of a ship. We're kept safe from the storms of this world and all the things that seek to attack us here in the church. Martin Luther called the church an ark. And in baptism, the floods that wash away our sin carry us to safety as we're baptized into Christ Jesus. This is our sanctuary here. Now, a sanctuary has in its meaning sort of a holy place, a sacred place. But it's a word that's often used just to refer to a place of safety. Well, it's both, isn't it? It is a holy place to which we come, a place where God does holy things. And we come looking for, in those holy things, for some safety from the world around us. That's what Elijah was seeking. And so God came to him there in his cave, in his sanctuary. And oh, what a way he came to him. Not as you might expect, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Lord of all hosts to come. He wasn't there in the mighty wind. He wasn't there in the earthquake. He wasn't there in a fire. He was there in a low whisper, a quiet voice. That was how God came to Elijah. I would think that Elijah, with people coming after him, wanting to put him to death, people rebelling against God left and right, Elijah might have preferred the God who was in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. He would have wanted a God who was showing a little bit more gusto in a moment like that. But he got a whisper. And in that whisper, he received God's unfailing promise that all was not lost. Not everyone had bowed their knees to Baal. Not everyone wanted to kill him. There was still a remnant. There were still faithful people in Israel. Elijah's ministry wasn't a total washout. It was doing exactly what God had in mind for him to do. And when Elijah was looking for maybe a mighty wind, an earthquake, or a fire, a small whisper was all that he needed. We have a God who comes to us in small whispers when we're looking for maybe the earthquake, the fire, and the wind. And yet just a small whisper from our Lord is more than enough. Consider the means by which God came to his people. He came. He didn't peel back the clouds and step down out of heaven onto earth. He came as an embryo in the womb of his mother Mary. Grew into a child, born in Bethlehem, worshipped by shepherds and wise men from the east. Not in a big roar of earth, wind, or fire, but in a little whisper. When Jesus came and the people wanted a king who would make Israel what they thought Israel ought to be, they didn't get a king on a throne of gold and silver and wearing jewels and ruling with a crown of gold. They got a king who went to a cross and hung on that cross as his throne and wore a crown of thorns. People wanted God to act in the big way. They got the whisper. Yet all of us know with the hindsight of being able to read the New Testament, that what God had in mind in Jesus Christ, his birth as a man, his death as a man, and then ultimately his victory over the grave as a man, was more than enough, was all that God's people needed. God comes to you in whispers, even now. Sins forgiven by a pastor who, I don't care how many years I get in doing this, I'm still going to be filled with sin and mistakes and faults. Yet God in his mercy uses a whisper like the voice of a pastor to forgive your sins. Washes you with water from the font. Water that without any word is just water. Water in that font for baptisms comes from the tap in the workroom. It's just water. But with God's word, it has the power to wash away sin and make us God's dear children. It comes to you tonight in the whisper of Holy Communion, bread and wine. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing exciting by the world's standards. And yet in that bread and wine, he gives you the body and blood of his son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Every bit of guilt, every bit of shame, every vice, every temptation you've caved into yesterday, today, tomorrow, many years past, many years in the future, all of it paid for in his body and blood. Just that still small voice, that little whisper, was enough to cause Elijah to cover his face, to tremble in the presence of God. Why are you here? Maybe you haven't answered that for yourself. Let me answer it for you. You're here because you have a God who speaks in whispers. Little things that seem small, insignificant, ordinary. Things that you could easily miss. Maybe some of you have noticed as years go by. I mean, I noticed this too at 41 years old. I don't hear as well as I did at 21 years old. So a whisper can be easy to miss. You might need someone to repeat themselves. Well, thanks be to God, he repeats himself week in, week out, with forgiveness given in the little whispers he speaks to you tonight and for always. Thanks be to God, our God does speak to us in such a way. As he spoke to Elijah and offered him sanctuary in the midst of a world falling down around him, and as he speaks to us here tonight to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation in the smallest of ways, with all the power of heaven and earth behind it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.